This morning will be a little different. We're going to be kind of reviewing a part of camp. It's impossible for us to cover the entire camp in such a short time. But I also encourage you to speak with any of us with these t-shirts. We got this t-shirt, it means we went to camp. But there are also others who attended that are not wearing theirs, and that's all good. But we want to encourage you to ask questions. What did you get from this? What was your favorite part? Interact with the students who went and find out what camp meant to them. Again, it's impossible for us to cover it all in such a short time.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Job is a very interesting character because the way that he's first introduced is, well, it starts out with God and Satan kind of discussing. Well, Satan says, oh, well, I've been trying to find people to test, and I'm looking for someone on this earth that could stand up to this. And God says, well, I think I know a guy. What about this Job guy? He's pretty well off. But Satan says, okay, I'll try. And then almost immediately, since Job was a guy who had just about everything, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all these tons of cattle, and a perfect life. So, in almost an instant, he loses everything. And the first thing he does is says, God will carry me through this, no matter what. I think it's truly beautiful that there is not only a faith from Job to God that he would bring him out of that, but there is a faith in God in him to say, yes, he can make it through all of these troubles because he has such strong faith.
Amen.
Good morning. I will be reading from Exodus 32, verses 31 through 32. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, a golden calf, per se. But now, please forgive them of their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book which you have written. So Moses here, he's in kind of a tough spot. God just basically gave him the Ten Commandments. But before he said those things to God, he basically had two choices. He could have basically let God just completely destroy the whole Israelite community, or he could have had trust in himself and honest faith and chose to change God's mind, which, and we all know, is very, very hard to do. But somehow, and I think God, you know, he loved Moses. I mean, Moses was a very, very faithful guy. So God changed his mind. And because Moses had such honest faith, he basically saved the whole Israelite nation by them not getting wiped out. And I think we should all follow this judgment by all having honest faith. I don't think we should all just go change God's mind. I'm pretty sure that's not a very good thing to do. But I think we should all just trust that God has a plan. And I think that, honest faith really does get us through hard times. And thank y'all.
Good morning. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go back up and take possession of this land, for we certainly can do it." But the men who had gone up with him and said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among like Israelites as bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we had explored devours those living upon it." All the people that were there are of the great size. We saw the giants there, or the Nephilim. Yeah. The descendants of Anak come before the Nephilim. We see like grasshoppers upon them in our own eyes, and we looked upon the same to them. So Joshua and Caleb in this story were faithful to God, and there were 10 other spies. So there were 12 spies. And the two spies that were there were Joshua and Caleb, and they were faithful in the Lord, as the other 10 were not. And these 10 were also banished for 40 years in the wilderness because of that. And Joshua and Caleb just stayed faithful in the Lord, and they said, "You know what? They're just a breeze. We can fight them." And the other 10 were like, "Oof. No, we're not doing that." And how I can relate this is, everybody, Texas Aggies out there? Yeah. I mean, football, Clemson, everybody was like, "We cannot beat Clemson. Clemson is too tough." And, I mean, Jimbo Fisher was their new coach, and Jimbo Fisher led them. I mean, they still lost, but hey. They still lost. But, hey, it was still, we still fought through, and we stayed like a 2-point lead, I think. Or there was 2 points below them. And so I can relate that to the story of Joshua and Caleb.
Good morning. We got a little bit ahead of ourselves there with that one, but the neat thing about these songs is not how we sing it, but it's what we're singing. And it is just so beautiful. It's hard not to get ahead of ourselves because we're so excited about what we're saying, and it just really holds true to my heart, and I'm sure I can speak for everybody else here. So before I get to reading this, I do want to say thank you for allowing Lillian and I to spend the summer with you guys. Appreciate this awesome opportunity. Thank y'all. It has truly been, I think I'm speaking for Lillian as well, it has been an amazing summer, so thank y'all very much. I'm going to be reading about David and Goliath. So typically, when David and Goliath, when we talk about David, we talk about his strength and how courageous he was. But of course, with the faith theme, I think this applies even better with David. So at the beginning of David and Goliath, we have... at the beginning of chapter 17, we have the understanding of Goliath coming out, Goliath coming and presenting himself as a strong and powerful person who's just easy to fear because he's so tall, he's so strong, he's been at war since his youth. And whenever the people of Israel are hearing this, whenever they hear that of the words that he is speaking, you know, when he's presenting them this challenge, send one of the Israelites to me, and I would come and fight him. And if the Philistines win, if I win, if Goliath wins, then the people of Israel would bow down to us. But if the people of Israel win, that one person, if they come and kill Goliath, then the people of the Philistines would come and bow down to the people of Israel. And so whenever the Israelites heard this, you know, they had great fear, right? They would run, they would hide, they would just chatter amongst each other about how terrifying this is. And then we have David. We are presented with David coming to the battleground, and he hears this great Philistine say these scary words and intimidating words, and he sees everybody, you know, kind of run away, and they talk about how fearsome he is. And David is... What are y'all doing? Why are we scared of this man? And then David, or Saul hears that David wants to fight. So David is Saul's faithful servant, right? And so Saul's like, "I can't lose you. I don't want to lose you because you're too great for me, and you're going to lose." And David responds with a powerful message. So in verse 37, he says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." So David, from the beginning, understood the great things that God has been doing for him. He understood that whenever he was out with his sheep, when he was being a shepherd, that he was protected by God because he had to fight off these bears and these lions that were coming and taking his possessions. So from the beginning, David, David put that faith forward. So whenever it came to this Philistine, he said, "What is the difference between God delivering me from these bears and lions and from this Philistine?" So David showed the great faith. He put his faith forward. This morning, the youth group, we kind of talked about, we kind of paraphrased a lot of these things just to kind of do it like a week, kind of what we're doing now. And John said something really great, and I'm going to steal it from him, but I'm giving you where the credit is due. He said the people of Israel, the Israelites, they were focusing on what Goliath had. They were focusing on the strength that Goliath had. But David focused on who Goliath didn't have. And I think that's so powerful because David had the Lord and he had that faith and he put it forward at all cost.
So I was given Daniel in the den of lions. And at this point, Darius has become the new king and he appointed 120 satraps and 3 advisors. And Daniel was one of those advisors. Now, the satraps and the other 2 advisors, they did not like Daniel much at this point. And they were trying to look for a way to basically get rid of him, but he was really great. And so they turned to basically God, and they're looking for a way that they were able to get him out of command through God. And so what they did was, so these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and force the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put in the writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. So whenever this happened, Daniel still turned to God and still prayed. He knew that he was going to be breaking something like a law, and if he got in trouble, he'd be thrown to the den of lions. But that didn't stop him. So he went ahead and he prayed, and they came in, they took him away. And King Darius really liked Daniel, so it hurt him to see them bring him. And he didn't realize what they had done to get rid of Daniel. But they brought him, and they said, "You can't go back on this. You have to throw Daniel into the lion's den." So he ended up throwing them into the lion's den, and the next day, the king was running over there because he wanted Daniel to be alive in there. So whenever he did, so when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lion. They did not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." So King Darius was very excited that he was alive, and he had them raise him out. And whenever he did this, he realized what they had done, the satraps, and just completely got rid of that decree, and he made a new one to where everybody would have to follow Daniel's God. And so because Daniel had that faith and was willing to break the law, which we don't really face here in America, but some places still do. But since he was willing to break that law, he was able to turn the whole country into a decree to where they needed to follow the Lord.
Good morning. I'm going to be starting in 1 Peter. In chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." I'm going to stop right there for a second. Isn't that amazing? Can I get an amen? I've always wanted to ask for that. But we have this amazing reward waiting for us in heaven that is never faltering, and it's staying the same. And all we have to do is be faithful. Don't we owe him that? He's given us so much. He's given his son, sacrificed his son's life, so that someday we could live in heaven and
embrace this reward he has waiting for us. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We're going to be tested. All these examples you've seen before are people being tested in their faith, and they stayed strong in God because they love him and they see that reward and they see what he's done for them. We owe him everything, and he's given us everything. And all we have to do is stay faithful. These challenges we're going to face, they're going to be tough. And we're going to come out on the other end, and our faith is going to be strengthened so much. And he says our faith is more valuable to him than gold. It is all he wants from us. He wants our love and our faith. Can we just give him that?
Howdy. I love hearing that. Okay, so this, you know, it says authentic on there, and so I was given the verse that Mr. Ritchie gave me, but, you know, I kind of wanted to, you know, I was looking through a verse, and Kevin brought it to my attention, and if y'all want to turn to it, it's James chapter 1, and it's verses 22 through 25, and it reads, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intentionally at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So this year, me, Kevin, Amanda, and Andrea, we were grads, and we were in charge of doing this project for the whole camp. And so we did skits, and one of the skits was we had one person, like we would do back-to-back, and you have one person have, you know, your faith, who prays to God, and then one where it's like your true self, the stuff that you show to the world. And so at the beginning, you know, the face side prayed, and she's like, you know, hey God, I think I'm gonna skip church this week, and I'm gonna go party with my friends. At the beginning, it wasn't true, like, you know, you had faith, but it wasn't, you know, that authentic faith. And by the end, the faith and the real self came together and joined, and, you know, put an end to all that. And so when I was, it kind of ties into this verse I was reading. So it. The basic question is, how are you going to live your faith? Are you going to go to church or are you just going to say, oh, I'll go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and I'll go to that class on Thursday. You know, I'll just listen, and I'll just, like, you know, I can still do all this stuff because I'm a Christian. Or are you going to go be doers, like God says in James, be doers, have that true, that authentic faith, like authentic, that's the theme, have that authentic faith that he wants you to do and be true to God.
At this time, if anyone would like to respond to the invitation, haven't we been blessed by these kids? And in reality, I think our hearts have been, yes, please, give them give them some support. Give them a big round of applause. Very good. But if there's anything that you would like to publicly respond to, now is the time to do that during this song. Also, know that our praise kids in stage 2 will be coming back in for the Lord's Supper to follow.